This is an awfully heavy passage. It's a difficult passage, story to read just a week after Christmas, in fact. If I were the editor of the lectionary text, I would have chosen to close this scene with the adoring Magi presenting the presents to the baby Jesus on bended knee and called it a day. But not Matthew. Matthew tells a story that is much grittier, it's more disturbing, and also more realistic to life than we often would like to believe and think. And perhaps that's the main value of Matthew's telling of the story. Because the thing is, Jesus' birth upset the order from the get-go. He comes as God's chosen king, the one who is about to bring peace and justice and equity into the kingdom of God that is breaking in, we are told. And so all earthly kings who put their own power and privilege first are terrified by the notion of some usurper coming along. Herod is a good, but by no means alone as an example for us. There are Herods throughout all of human history. So terrified is Herod of the promise of God's will for his land in this child that has been born that he has yet to meet, who's going to restore peace, we're told, and justice, that is, he's willing to slaughter the infants in an entire region, every baby boy, 2 years and younger, wiped out because of his fear. So Joseph, who is warned in a dream by an angel, flees this carnage and moves his family down to Egypt to live there in exile, so to speak. Such a grim account of wholesale massacre and night flights to safety would seem pretty far-fetched were it not for the familiar atrocities and tragedies that happen right now. Those images I still can't get out of my head of the kids in Aleppo, those little children that were shelled and bombed and just sitting there dazed. It must have been like that for those kids and families around the time that Jesus was born. All of them being dislocated. As we gather here for worship, we have a comfortable, warm sanctuary. How many children, for example, today also are being starved around the world as we finish up our overstuffed menus of holiday leftovers and things, right? We take it for granted, not that we're bad people, not that we've done something wrong, but our world is very, very different in many ways. But this story that Matthew tells is for those people who suffer that way. He acknowledges from the get-go that this is the kind of world that we live in and that God himself is coming into this. And how many families, perhaps, some even in our congregation, are contending with their own private sorrows, right? How many folks here are going through hard times, hardships only exacerbated by the expectations for that perfect merriment of a season, right? Everybody should be happy. It's Christmas. And yet so many people at this time of the year suffer so greatly. So while the story that Matthew tells may be dark and it may be hard to hear, especially amidst the carols and the wonderful festivities of the season, it really is not a far-fetched story. Which is why, of course, he tells it in the first place. To let us know that in Jesus, Emmanuel, God did indeed draw near to us, took on our very lot in life, took on our flesh, took on our sufferings and our joys, and experienced and endured all that we endure as human beings, the disappointments, the fears, the violence, even death. And so that we would know that we are not alone, that we do not suffer alone, that we do not live in fear alone, live or die even alone. We are the Lord's. If anything, this is Matthew's version of the incarnation. This is where the good news is to be found, which adds a lot to Luke's version that gets left out. We don't hear in Luke, for example, about what Herod does to the two-year-old boys. Not even mentioned there. Sometimes, therefore, we can say that life is beautiful, like Luke sees it, and wonderful in a moment when the angels appear, tell the shepherds not to be afraid, and they wander into Bethlehem at night. That's a beautiful story filled with goodness and grace. And God is part of that. God is giving, God is blessing, God is celebrating with us and for us at that moment on Christmas Day. But sometimes life is also really hard. Sometimes life is gritty. Sometimes life is disappointing. And sometimes it's filled with heartache and terror. And God is part of that as well, Matthew tells us, holding on to us, comforting us, blessing us with the promise that God will stay with us through the good and the bad, drawing us ever more deeply into God's loving embrace and promising us. And this is where the hope really lies, folks, because it's not going to be in a warrior God, in my opinion, that's going to restore everything for us in our lifetime, make the right right and the wrong wrong, make it all clear to everybody. Doesn't seem that that's how God operates. But it is true that God operates this way, as Paul discovered in his life, as he lived it in relationship to God and to his fellow human beings. He said this, he said, "I am convinced that there is nothing in all of creation, be it life, nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything at all in creation that ultimately can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." The hope is found in the fact that God somehow is involved in our suffering, in our deepest needs, and is not abandoning us, even though I can promise you when you're going through that dark night of the soul, when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you do feel alone. You feel as if there is nothing there, but God is there, present, always, always present. The Christmas story, it seems, begins with the birth of a child. But it doesn't end there, does it? No, this is just the beginning of our story. Until this child has grown up, preached God's mercy, delivered good news to the poor, healed the blind, fixed the lame, been crucified, dead, and finally raised from the dead by God Almighty. That's the whole story that we look at as we look at this time in Matthew's gospel around Herod. Actually, you know, it doesn't end at all in a certain sense. Jesus is always drawing us closer to him into that same story that repeats itself time and time again throughout history. And for the folks that are experiencing that dark night sometimes, it is a story like Matthew or a story like Job that gets us through it because we see in them a vision of how life can eventually be, even when it feels like it's coming to a tragic end and a horrible conclusion. Being raised to new life is what the final promise is all about. Even amid the very real challenges that face each and every one of us here today, that's always going to be the promise, is that I will be with you no matter what till the close of this age. This story that Matthew tells, just like Luke's, but focusing today on Matthew, matters because it tells us the truth. The truth is not always pleasant. Sometimes it will, in fact, make you miserable. But it will ultimately set you free. Because when you live in the truth of who Jesus is, out of the truth of who God is and wants us to be, then nothing literally has the power anymore to own you. Not even death itself. Not even death itself. And that's a difficult truth sometimes to hang on to in this season of unjust rulers and violence and private grief and personal pain and all the rest that attends it, unfortunately. But it's part of what an abundance of life is too. But also, and we can't forget this, there's also that hopeful truth that God has not stood back at a distance and looked out at us and thought, what a pity. But rather in Christ Jesus, God has joined God's self to us. God has joined God's self to our story and how we live life and is working even now, even here, to grant us new life, that we may not just endure life, but that we may flourish in life, that we might expect and experience not only the depths of sorrow, but the heights of resurrection joy, that grace that passes all understanding, and the courage in our daily lives to share the hope that we find from time to time with one another, to remind each other that yes, sometimes it feels like it's Friday, but Easter is always coming, folks. Easter is always coming. Amen.
Amen. Bring out wonder.